Hi everyone. How are you all going? I'm very nervous. I think I've got 10 minutes. How much time do I have? So I've got 15 minutes. So I have to try and fit in 25 minutes into 15 minutes. Okay. So hello to everyone. I'm Pastor Onami. For anyone who doesn't know me, just want to welcome any new people and anyone who's watching online. Can I just ask you this question? How big are Jesus's feet? How big? Pardon? How big? 8.5. Oh, okay. I only asked that question because that's the question my 5-year-old asked me yesterday. First, she asked me, I was driving, she says, Mom, how big are God's feet? And while I was trying to come up with an answer, she said, no, actually, how big are Jesus's feet? Then I thought, oh, that should be easy than trying to work out God, you know, if you know what I mean. So I started thinking about my son and trying to work out how big his feet were. And then I started thinking about my husband and how big his feet and trying to choose which feet I could say so that she could relate. So I said, oh, you know, about Mandla's feet. That's my son. And she said, no, Mom, no. Jesus's feet are much, much bigger than that. Who knows that we serve a big God? Yeah, so he's got very big feet because he's a big, big, what's the word? He's a big God. So if you take anything from today, take that. We serve a big God with big feet, right? That can go places that you can't go, right? So today, we start a two-part series on relationships. Who loves talking about relationships? Yeah? Yes? Okay. So we serve a relational God who sent his son Jesus Christ to the cross so that he could bridge the gap, so that we could have access to the Father, right? Because when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, there was a barrier there between God the Father and humanity. So Jesus Christ was sent to the cross to bridge that gap. So he's a relational God. So if we're going to fulfill the call to emerge, because that's the theme for this year, to emerge, if we're going to fulfill that, to emerge into what God has purposed for us as the body of Christ, and if we're going to be fruitful and multiply, as we've been told to be fruitful and multiply, and to do it in a healthy manner, then we have to have a good understanding of what makes relationships work and what can disrupt them and how we can do relationships God's way. So that's what the focus will be for the next 2 weeks. So I just want to pray. Lord, we just thank you. And I pray for the word you've put in my heart. I pray, Father, that I would speak it the way you've placed it in my heart. And I pray, Father, that everyone who listens today, that they will take something away from today, Lord. May their hearts receive what you want them to receive. In Jesus' name I pray. We all want healthy relationships, right? In our families, in our marriages, in our parenting, in our workplace, in our churches, right? But quite often there's a slight problem with relationships, isn't there? They require investment of time, of effort, of emotional energy. Is that correct? They require intentionality and patience. They can be negatively affected by unhealthy patterns of communication, right? And one of the most common unhealthy patterns of communication is people-pleasing. People-pleasing. So that's the focus of today. And if you're taking notes, the title of my message is The Wrong Yes. Oh, it's already up there. The Wrong Yes. Meaning you say yes when you should probably say no. You say yes when you should probably wait. And you say yes when you should probably pray about it. A common sign of people pleasing is, you know, feelings of anxiety about the opinions and feelings of other people. There's fear of being misunderstood, misjudged. So the people pleaser tends to conform their behaviors, to fit into the mold that they've been placed into. Now, you may think, I don't have a problem saying no. But there are many ways that this can show up. So here are some questions you should ask yourself just to work out whether you're a people pleaser. Number one, do I feel guilty when I have to set boundaries?
Do I take blame or responsibility for things that have nothing to do with me? Am I constantly apologizing for other people's mistakes? Do I tend to free up my schedule and drop responsibilities when somebody asks for favors? Do I have difficulty finding time for myself? Do I get offended when people don't notice my efforts? Do I have a need to be in everyone's good books, whether it be friends or family? Do I often feel overcommitted, resentful, and overwhelmed? Can anyone say yes to any of those? Yeah? Okay, so we've got a few people pleasers in the house. So I'm not alone, right? The wrong yes for the believer, that's you and I, can be especially concerning. The problem with people-pleasing behavior for a Christian is this. Your focus is on the wrong things. You're distracted from the will of God for your life. So time is wasted. You're saying yes to man, and therefore you're saying no to God. We call that disobedience. You don't use your authentic God-ordained voice. You pick and choose who you share the gospel with, depending on how much you fear them or feel to please them. You're very careful about mentioning the name of Jesus in front of them. We don't want to offend. We live in a generation where we don't want to offend people, right? You take up someone else's space so they're displaced for a while. So you get asked, do you want to be part of kids' church? When you know that really you should be in the worship team. But because you don't want to say no, you say yes. And you take up space for someone else. That's just a simple example. A classic example of a servant of God who demonstrated people-pleasing is King Saul. I want to read from 1 Samuel chapter 15, but I just want to give a bit of background. So God commanded King Saul through the prophet Samuel to attack and completely destroy the Amalekites, who were the enemies of the Israelites. But Saul was unwilling. That's what it said. That's the word that was used. He was unwilling. So we're not reading the scripture yet. He was unwilling to destroy everything. And he was told, do not spare a living thing. But he was unwilling. And instead, he chose to leave some sheep and cattle alive. And his reason was, it's so that I bring an offering to the Lord. And there's this famous scripture we hear that says, obedience is better than sacrifice. It came from that. Because Saul said, I saved the cattle and the sheep so that I could bring an offering. And the Lord was like, obedience is better than sacrifice. So Samuel, the prophet, told Saul that God was displeased with him and that he would take the crown away and hand it to someone else. We know later on that turned out to be King David. It's worth noting that this was actually the second time that Samuel had informed Saul that God was going to take the crown from him. So I'm reading from 1 Samuel 15, verse 24 to 26, and it says, then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. I violated the Lord's command and your instructions. I was afraid of the men, and so I gave in to them. Now I beg you, forgive my sin and come back with me so that I may worship the Lord. But Samuel said to him, I will not go back with you. You have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you as king over Israel. I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but the fear of men is real. Who knows that it's real? Yeah? The fear of men is real. Now, the fear may not necessarily be of being physically harmed. But here's the thing about our brains. Our brain cannot tell the difference between a real threat, like a lion standing in front of me or someone with a spear trying to kill me, and my imagination or the thought that I am in danger. It cannot tell the difference. So my body responds in the same way. We see a real fear here with Saul when he says, I was afraid of the men, and so I gave in to them. Although the fear of men may be due to fear of being misunderstood, being criticized, or being judged, at the core of the fear of men is the fear of rejection, which is rooted in the basic need to be loved, to belong, and to be accepted. King Saul was on assignment from God, but he had insecurities that stood in his way. From the time that he was chosen or told that he would be king, he highlighted to the prophet Samuel that he was from the smallest tribe of Israel and from the smallest clan. I wonder if you've ever done that. A position has come up, an opportunity has come up, and you start having what we call imposter syndrome. That sense of, I don't really belong. That's what was happening here with Saul. He was king, and yet he confesses, we hear that, he confesses that what the men wanted dictated what position he took when it came to following God's instruction. I was afraid of the men, and so I gave in to them. I wonder for you, have you ever given in because of fear? You know, that's what peer pressure is. You give in. And peer pressure is not just with kids. Adults experience peer pressure as well. But the thing is, Saul paid a hefty price, a very heavy price, for his fear of men and disobedience. The Bible says, the Lord has rejected you as king. Saul lost his position as leader of the nation. So we learn that from God's perspective, your leadership and authority can be taken away. We learn that there's a direct relationship between your authority and obedience. Many years ago, before we became pastors, I heard the Lord say these words to me. He said, do not ever use my platform as a stage to advertise your agenda. Do not ever use my platform as a stage to advertise your agenda. God's platform is where he has placed you, where he's given you authority. A stage is where we perform, we entertain. Advertising your agenda, the Lord showed me, he was saying, people pleasing. He was showing me that when it comes to me, that would be what my agenda would be. And he was saying, I'm warning you, do not ever use any space, any platform that I give you to be a people pleaser. Now for you, it might be something else. We all have tendencies. And what the Lord is saying to us this morning, if you would hear this, is that whatever platform the Lord has given you, do not ever bring your agenda there. Obedience is better than sacrifice. So whatever platform God has given you, whether you're a boss, you're a parent, you're a teacher, a husband, a wife, whatever it is, a student, that position comes with authority. But it can be disqualified by your fear of men and the need to please. Here's a very important point I want to make. When the Lord rejected Saul's kingship, he essentially rejected a few other things. He rejected his influence in that generation. He rejected his legacy. And he deleted his assignment and purpose in that one decision. Should God ever reject your kingship, your authority, he's essentially saying, I'm rejecting your influence in the generation. I'm rejecting your legacy. I'm deleting your assignment. And I don't think any of us want that. But because of his compassion, God chose an anointed Saul. I'm saying this to highlight why this was a hefty price. God chose an anointed Saul to be a deliverer because he cared for his children, the Israelites. So he was sent on a love assignment. Every assignment that you are sent on is actually a love assignment when it's from God. So Saul was sent to be a deliverer because God had a love assignment for him. But that assignment was to never be completed, at least not through Saul. But we all know that God, the way he works, if I don't obey, he will find someone else. Is that not true? He used a donkey to praise him. If we will not praise him, a donkey will. In order to understand God's will and purpose for his people, we have to understand his perspective on love. And we have to hold a certain posture. There's a posture we have to hold. And that's a posture of humility and submission. We have to bring humility and submission in order to complete our love assignments. We must be willing to make meaningful connections with people. But guess what? That's going to require that we unmask. Who's ever watched the movie The Mask? Yeah? I haven't seen it in years, but that's what came to my mind. You have to unmask. But in order to unmask, guess what you're going to need to do? You're going to have to be vulnerable. Who likes that word? Be vulnerable. How many people here love being vulnerable? None? There's a lady called Brené Brown. Some of you may know her. She's an American professor. She's a social worker and author. And she's known for her work on shame, vulnerability, and leadership. And she says this, vulnerability is about showing up and being seen. Says it's tough to do that when we're terrified about what people might see or think. But research into human connection or how humans connect, they found this. They found that what separates those who have a strong sense of love and belonging and those who don't is worthiness. They found that people who had a poor sense of love and belonging did not feel worthy of connection. They felt shame instead. I'm not good enough. They feared disconnection. They feared, is there something about me that if other people know it or see it, I won't be worthy of connection? And here's my message, I suppose, to you this morning. We're talking like the theme of this year is to emerge. And I'm saying, in order to do that, in order to emerge, we have to do things differently. We have to understand that we are on a love assignment. But in order to complete that love assignment, you have to be willing to be vulnerable. And they found this in the research. There was a theme. Those who felt worthy had the courage to be imperfect. They knew how to practice self-compassion. They were willing to let go of who they thought they should be. They fully embraced vulnerability as necessary to connection. When you've humbled yourself and surrendered to God's positioning of you, then loving people as he has loved you becomes clearer. John 15 verse 10 to 14 says, if you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. In order to love people well, You have to see them well. You have to remove the scales of preconceived ideas from your eyes. You have to want nothing but not just the best version, but the God version. You have to seek God about every relationship you're in to establish what loving that person looks like, what laying down your life looks like, because you're on a love assignment. So what would it mean for us if we were to heed the lessons from the life of Saul? You see, authenticity is what comes out when we make room for vulnerability. There's so much more I could say, but I'm very conscious of time. There's a Canadian psychiatrist, Eric Benet. They came up with something called the OK matrix. And he propositioned that the idea that we are all born okay, good and worthy. But people pleasers, they hold this position. I'm not okay, you're okay. However, the ideal position is I'm okay, you're okay. I'm just going to leave it there because I could go on. You know, for all of us, I'll just get us to stand up. One scripture I've really been reflecting on this year is this. Or before I talk about the scripture, the Lord said to me once, he said, you rush off the stage. And I didn't understand what that meant. And he was trying to show me that I have a tendency to really physically rush off the stage. I couldn't wait to get off the stage. But he was showing me throughout my life, I was doing the same thing. I'll do something, I'll accomplish something, and I'll rush off. I'll move on to the next thing. But the Lord said, do not ever fail to acknowledge. What did he say? Do not ever fail to glorify God by failing to acknowledge everything he has done for you. There are things that God has done in your life. And the scripture says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and glorify the Father. Some of us listen to that and think, oh, I have no good deeds. Yes, that is correct. But there is a light that you have. There are gifts the Lord has given you. There are experiences you've had. There are talents that you have. You have stories to tell. And so God says, let your light so shine before all men. Remain on the stage. Stop rushing through your experiences. Stop hiding what God has done in your life. Because you're on a love assignment. So if we're going to build relationships, if we're going to connect better, then we have to be willing to be vulnerable. We have to be willing to let our light so shine before all men. Why? So that he may be glorified. That's the whole purpose of our lives, that he be glorified. So I'm just going to pray in finishing off. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you are a faithful God. And I pray, Father, for everyone here, myself included, who has ever said the wrong yes. When they've said yes when they should have said no. When they've said yes when they should have waited. When they've said yes when they should have prayed. I pray, Father, that there would be a shift for them. Father, I pray that we would learn how to be vulnerable, because there's power in vulnerability. That as we are vulnerable, our connections will be stronger. And as we connect more, we will complete our love assignments. I pray against those who have a fear of men. I pray against the spirit of intimidation. I pray against that spirit of fear, because we know that is not from you. I thank you, Father, that you've given us authority to trample on snakes and scorpions, to call those things that are not as though they are. Your word says, out of your innermost belly shall flow rivers of living water. And so, Father, I pray for anyone here who's not seeing those rivers of living water. but that there would be a shift for them, oh God. Church, I just ask that you raise your hands in expectation, because we are people of faith. And so with your hands out there, you are expecting God to come through for you. So right now, Lord, as they open up their hands, your children, the ones who hear your voice, I pray, Father, that you would position something in their hands, that they would see, Lord, that you love them, that you have an assignment for them, and that you want their light to shine so that you be glorified. Father, I pray that this would not be a message that they would hear and the enemy comes and snatches away from them. I pray that it would take root and that lives would be transformed. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.